Welcome to God and Country Biblical Exposition. I'm your Bible teacher, Pastor Brad Winship, pastor of Harbor Bible Church in Central New Jersey. On this week's program, I'd like to discuss another teachable current event in the news that has made headlines. Two different July 4th speeches with two different worldviews, two different outlooks, in essence, two separate systems of belief. The first is the July 4th speech by President Trump, a Republican, a political conservative, a free market capitalist. The second is the July 4th speech by Democrat Mayor of New York, Zohran Mamdani, a Democrat socialist, a political leftist or progressive, by its very definition, a communist. The contrast between these two speeches and the ideology they separately represent is so stark that they become a great teachable example of two worldviews in conflict. And as Christians, as God's ambassadors to this world, we should be able to discern which is right and which is wrong. Philippians 1:9, that your love may abound still more and more in real knowledge and all discernment. And Hebrews chapter 5, verse 14, but solid food belongs to the mature, to those who by reason of practice have their senses trained to discern good and evil. Now, there's not enough time to play both speeches in their entirety, but here's just a small portion so that you get the gist. First, President Trump.
This country is the home of freedom. This is the land of liberty. And this is a flag that's the banner of the most extraordinary, most exceptional, most incredible nation ever to exist on the face of the earth. And we're doing better now than we've ever done before. No people have done more good, shown more courage, made more progress, righted more injustice, or achieved more greatness than you, the American people. For 250 years, the United States of America has been the hope, the promise, the light, and the glory among all of the nations of the world. All over the world, they try and be like us. Nobody can be like us. And with God's help, we will always be this or even better.
So notice the president didn't scold Americans. He didn't apologize for America. But he saw America as a unique force for good and justice in the world. Now the communist mayor of New York City, Mamdani, and his speech.
As we mark 250 years, what do we see? We see a city of contradictions within a nation of contradictions. We see the wealthiest country in the history of the world, one where children go to sleep hungry while the world's first trillionaire hungers for more. We see monopolies that dominate every industry, and oligarchs who buy elections. We see masked agents terrorizing our streets, eating food cooked by our undocumented neighbors before spiriting them away in unmarked vans.
So Mamdani sees America as a contradiction where children go to sleep hungry, even though with the federal SNAP food program, no child in America, or adult for that matter, should go to bed hungry, unless there are dysfunctional or mentally disturbed or criminal parents. And Mamdani criticized Elon Musk for becoming the first trillionaire. Yet Elon Musk doesn't have that money like Scrooge McDuck diving into piles of money in his office. Since Elon Musk's company, SpaceX, just went public on paper, if he sold all of the stocks and all of the companies he started, he would cash in on maybe $1 trillion. And Musk lives in a 450 square foot mini box house. Musk has to be one of the most unselfish, community-minded business leaders in our country, creating thousands of jobs and creating great products for everyone. He is a model for American entrepreneurialism. But Mamdani claims Musk is just hungering for more money while children go hungry. You know, it's quite an accusation. Additionally, Mamdani claims in America, monopolies dominate every industry. But it's illegal in America to run a monopoly. And at the beginning of the 20th century, Theodore Roosevelt, being a Christian conservative, passed antitrust laws. He was operating on the biblical principle found in Isaiah chapter 5, verse 8, which condemns those who add land to land until there's no competition, monopolies. So that today, unlike most countries in the world, every business sector in America is dominated by many companies that compete for lower prices and better quality. The antitrust division of the DOJ and the Federal Trade Commission continually monitor American businesses and their mergers to make sure they don't become monopolies. But for communists, every private business is considered a monopoly, and they would rather have the government run all businesses and hence become the ultimate monopoly. Then Mamdani claimed that there are oligarchs in America that buy elections. But in America, the maximum amount anyone can donate to a candidate in any election is $3,500. And America is very unique in this. It's almost impossible for the rich to buy elections in America like in other countries. Then Mamdani calls immigration enforcement officers masked agents terrorizing our streets, when the current main focus of ICE is to remove those who have illegally crossed the border into America and have committed crimes here. Imagine if we didn't have any border enforcement. MS-13, human trafficking, drug trade is a real thing. And it's no small thing to cut in line while others follow the rules and wait for their naturalization. Last year in America, 2025, almost 1 million foreigners were naturalized. America is more generous and more open toward immigration than any other country in the world. And Mamdani's depiction of immigration officers as eating food cooked by illegal aliens and then spiriting them away in unmarked vans is simply a fabricated, grandiose hyperbole. As if ICE agents eat at taco stands and then vindictively arrest and deport the cooks who made their tacos. Now, there's not enough time to play Mandani's entire speech, but in addition, he also said that America has created an arena of supremacy where only a select few are allowed freedom and where not everyone is created equal. And those with power and wealth in America have not seen all people as exceptional. The only people who belong were those who had the right accent and a certain shade of skin. So Mamdani was playing two cards in describing America: the economic Marxist card and the cultural Marxist race card. Marxism has always been based on grievances over inequity, first economic inequity, as in the complaints under Karl Marx. But that didn't sell very well in the West, where even the poorest were wealthy compared to historic standards. So the Columbian School of Marxism in New York City came up with the grievance of racial inequality, cultural Marxism, where allegedly you're being kept down, not just by the business owners, but your liabilities are all due to the racial prejudice of others. So that was Zohran Mamdani's take on America versus President Trump's. And you can probably see where I fall on who's making the right assessment and who's making the wrong assessment. And I believe I have a biblical basis for that judgment. But before I get into that, I must again point out that the Christian community needs to discern right and wrong in this regard. Now, my program is broadcasted on a few Christian radio stations, but many Christian radio stations and even many church pulpits wouldn't even touch the subject because it can certainly be offensive to some people who have a certain political leaning. So the approach is often just talk about Jesus and leave any application to biblical ethics and morality in the public square to people's own judgment. I've just been reading the book by a Russian patriot, Ivan Alexandrovich Ilyin, who was with the White Army working to stop the communist Red Army back in 1917 Russia. And one important historic lesson is that the church in Russia failed to adequately educate the people in the churches against the evil of communism, the social evils, the economic evils. And so therefore, the people were easily deceived by the communist Bolsheviks. And hence, over 1 million people died by the communists, and so many people suffered. As the pulpits go, so go to the nation. To not teach people to discern ideological error for fear that they'll be offended is a great sin on the part of the church, which ends in terrible suffering and even death. And again, Paul's instruction to Titus in his new work, Titus was assigned to on the island nation of Crete, Titus 1:9, hold fast the faithful word, which is in accordance with the teaching, so that he will be able to exhort in sound doctrine and refute those who contradict what? The scriptures, God's moral revelation. Verse 10 continues, for there are many rebellious men, empty talkers and deceivers, who must be silenced because they are upsetting whole families, unquote. And this is not just speaking about refuting religious false teachers, but any false teacher, even atheistic, secular politicians and philosophers, the false teachers of the day. So in looking at the difference between these two 4th of July speeches, we see one is a positive affirmation of America, and the other is a negative grievance. And we have to ask why. What are the different belief systems driving these two variant worldviews? Now, in any debate, the first rule is to understand the arguments of your opponent. Don't assume that your opponent's arguments are unsophisticated and easily dismissed. By nature, evil is very deceptive, calling good evil and evil good, so that one man's evil is another man's righteousness. And I can guarantee you that the typical sociologist would say that Trump's patriotic optimism is due to his own experience in America having been positive. He was raised in a wealthy family. His businesses were successful. America worked out well for him. So of course he's going to sing praises of America. But not so for those who have not been so fortunate. Man, Danny, as an immigrant, probably had a negative experience in America. So therefore, he doesn't see America as a shining light on a hill. But don't be so sure that's what's really going on here. Because Zoran Mondani was raised in a wealthy family, and he has always been well taken care of in America. He lived in New York City, where racism is hardly a thing. The city is all about bending over backward not to be racist. Zoran has never worked a regular job. He's a career politician. His father was a prominent Marxist professor at Columbia University. But President Trump comes from a working class family. His father was a builder and a developer. And Trump and his family have had many business successes and failures. And if you know anything about the construction industry, it's very difficult and it's a very risky business. So I don't believe their different worldviews had anything to do with their environment. Worldviews and beliefs happen apart from one's circumstances. So that some of the poorest people become free market capitalists, while some of the richest people become communists. In fact, it's widely known that communist ideologues tend to flourish among the rich elites who have never worked a day in their life, such as their founder, Karl Marx. Consider the difference between two black American leaders. First, Booker T. Washington, born in slavery, and he became an ideological leader in the black community, founding the Tuskegee Institute in Alabama for the education of black Americans, versus W.E.B. Du Bois, born and raised as a free man in Massachusetts, and he attended Harvard University on a scholarship. Both Washington and Du Bois were raised in fatherless homes. Both were a mixture of black and white heritage. But Booker T. Washington was a genuine born-again Christian, while Du Bois was an atheist. And Booker T. Washington opposed Du Bois' approach of racial grievance. And Du Bois was very vocal criticizing Booker T. Washington's Christian testimony and love approach to the racial problem. But my point here is that we have two different individuals with two different worldviews, two different attitudes, but it has nothing to do with their upbringing or environment. It's simply about a choice of their will. And that's a biblical assessment of mankind. We're not simply products of our environment. We make a conscious choice to either go God's way, like Abel, or go the way of sin like Cain, or James chapter 3. One either has the wisdom that's from above, that's pure and peaceable and gentle and reasonable, full of mercy and good fruits, unwavering without hypocrisy, or one has the wisdom that's from below, bitter, jealous, selfish, arrogant, and that lies against the truth. Beware of those who try to make a moral equivalence between all worldviews, as if there's no right or wrong perspective. Beware of those who claim everything is due to the environment. Anyway, President Trump is by no means a perfect man, but he does have a positive perspective on America that I believe is Christian in its worldview. A worldview very much different than the atheist professor at Boston University, Howard Zinn, who wrote the book A People's History of America, where Zinn redefines America as an unjust, invasive colonial power. And there have been many books refuting Zinn's revisionist history. But just like on July 4th, there are two speeches about America, Trump's versus Mandami's. So there are also two views of America being taught in our universities. Anyway, the biblical perspective is that the bringing of the gospel of Jesus Christ and bringing order to this new land was by far a positive for the natives, for all of the immigrants, for everyone. And rather than being a fault finder, we should focus on the positive Christian values in America that worked to correct the evil secularists in America who promoted the slave trade and the monopolies and the drug trafficking. Jude 16, we are warned about those who are grumblers, fault finders, following after their own lusts. They speak arrogantly, flattering people for the sake of gaining advantage, unquote. Also, 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 9, be hospitable to one another without complaint. Philippians chapter 2, verse 14, do all things without grumbling or disputing. And 1 Corinthians 10:10, do not grumble as some of them did and were destroyed by the destroyer. The Israelites coming out of Egypt complained about the nation Moses was setting up because they didn't agree with its righteous moral foundation. Now, I can hear those progressives on the left responding, we're not the fault finders. We're trying to correct the abuses. Was the prophet Jeremiah a fault finder when he criticized the behavior of ancient Israel? Okay, that would be a very interesting argument. Could not the Old Testament prophets of God also be condemned as fault finders for giving speeches against the nation? And they were considered fault finders by the false prophets in their day. So what's the difference between the Jude 16 sin of fault finding and Jesus finding fault with the Pharisees in Matthew 23? Well, the difference is, what is one finding fault in? The sin of fault finding is when one finds fault with the moral law of God, promoting instead LGBTQ, queer theory, gender transitioning, abortion, communism. When a righteous fault finding finds fault with violations of God's moral law. Finding fault is not an error in itself. I mean, after all, we should find fault with the devil. The issue is, what are you finding fault with? And to be a sinful fault finder, as described in the biblical book of Jude, you are one who finds fault with biblical moral values, principles, people, and institutions. Now, to make this very simple, if you have trouble discerning who is right and wrong in their differing perspectives and their July 4th speeches, by the fruit you will know them. Mandami and his party vocally advocate for the morality of Sodom and abortion. The progressive left is opposed to America's Christian heritage, considering the Christian founding principles to be oppression, racism, simply the powerful using the morality to oppress others. That's the spin they put on it. So therefore, it's not unreasonable to also question Mandami's assessment of America in his July 4th speech. He was reflecting a certain worldview. Anyway, the scriptures have much to say concerning our attitude toward the nation. First, the Christian is always to have a thankful attitude. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, in everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 20, always giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. But unbelievers are always characterized by being unthankful, ungrateful, bitter, envious. Romans chapter 1, verse 21, they did not honor him as God or give thanks, but became futile in their speculations. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 2, in the last days, men will be arrogant, revilers, ungrateful, unholy. And remember the propaganda of the communist Bolsheviks back in 1917 that deceived the Russian people. It was an ungratefulness, a belief that one is a victim, and all of the problems are due to the faults of others. Rather than working hard and taking personal responsibility, it's always someone else's fault. And of course, you need the politician to take from others and give to you. Also, in the Christian worldview, there is always a patriotic honoring of the country. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 17, honor all people, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. And what I found amazing in church history is that the Christians in the early church actually had a very positive attitude toward the Roman government, despite the emperors who persecuted the church. Because these early Christians recognized the providential hand of God in raising up the Roman Empire to be a force of order in the world. So that Justin Martyr would write to the emperor that the Christians are your best citizens. Quote, we are in fact, of all men, your best helpers and allies in securing good order. Now, concerning President Trump's worldview, what causes him to have such an optimistic patriotism? I believe it goes back to his family upbringing, and in part, his father taking him every week to hear Pastor Norman Vincent Peale at the Marble Collegiate Church in Manhattan. Peale preached a psychological gospel called The Power of Positive Thinking, where he reframed faith as positive thinking. Norman Vincent Peale didn't preach a clear gospel message of the need for personal repentance and conversion. He was part of 20th century liberalism entering into the church. He preached a biblical morality and somewhat of a biblical worldview, divorced from Christ and the doctrines of salvation. So I see Trump and his can-do attitude and his taking personal responsibility for your successes and failures as having some Christian roots. President Trump, age 80, part of that World War II baby boom generation that had Christian values and culture without the Christ of the Christian values and culture. Now in our current generation, we not only don't have Christ, but we have now lost the values of Christ in Christian culture. What I find interesting is President Trump's favorite song that he plays at all of his events, YMCA. Have you ever listened to the lyrics? There's a reason he likes this song, because it fits his own philosophy of life. And it tells young men to have optimism and take personal responsibility. Quote, young man, there's no need to feel down. I said, young man, pick yourself off the ground. I said, young man, because you're in a new town, there's no need to be unhappy. Young man, there's a place you can go. I said, young man, when you're short on your dough, you can stay there, and I'm sure you'll find many ways to have a good time. So we can see in this song that there's always optimism. There's always a way you can survive and make yourself better. Stop being unhappy. Stop complaining as if it's everyone else's fault. The next stanza, young man, are you listening to me? I said, young man, what do you want to be? I said, young man, you can make real your dreams. Then the third stanza, young man, I was once in your shoes. I said, I was down and out with the blues. I felt no man cared if I were alive. I felt the whole world was so jive. That's when someone came up to me and said, young man, take a walk up the street. There's a place there called the YMCA. There they can start you back on your way. Unquote. So that song really is not about the YMCA. It's a metaphor for life. It's a worldview. And by the way, the YMCA once was a Christian organization. It stands for the Young Men's Christian Association. This song came out in 1978 when at the YMCA, they still had Bible studies. But the YMCA went secular in 2010, changing its name to simply the Y, dropping the name of Christ. So today's program is really not about two July 4th speeches. This is about us. What's our worldview? Do we have a positive optimism based upon Scripture, or do we carry grievances? The Christian has an optimism and a hope that the unsaved world knows nothing about. 2 Corinthians 1:20, for as many as are the promises of God, in him they are yes, positive. Therefore also, through him is our amen to the glory of God through us. Thanks for listening. Stand firm in the word, and may Jesus Christ reign.